Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Caliber Mining, traded on the TSX under the symbol CXB and on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. We are chatting with the Vice President of Corporate Development and IR, Ryan King. Now, Caliber is a focused, growing mid-tier gold producer. The company has assets in Nicaragua as well as the U.S. now after that recent takeover of Fiore Gold. The company did just report Q1 production and financial results. The headline focuses on the cash costs and all-in sustaining costs that came in $1,060 for total cash costs and just under $1,200 per ounce for all-in sustaining costs. Ryan, I have to say, with these costs, you guys are beating a lot of other mid-tier producers. Everyone that's following the sector, I'm sure, is seeing some of these other mid-tier producers miss guidance and come in with cost overruns. Seems like Caliber managed to keep everything within guidance and total production too. Total gold sales actually in that quarter was just over 52,000 ounces, grossing almost $100 million in revenue. Let's stick with the cash costs. Ryan, how are you guys managing to keep these under control in this inflationary environment?
Hey guys, thanks for having me and Caliber back on the show. Appreciate that. You know, it's definitely a topic that's on investors' minds right now. As you said, in this inflationary environment where we're seeing, you know, more increases than even anticipated when it comes to steel or cyanide, labor, fuel, of course, we're feeling it across the board. And, you know, going into the year here at Caliber, fortunately, we've got a very strategic, thoughtful planning CEO who's been in the business for, you know, three decades now, worked for Newmont for most of his career in different parts of the world and has been through this a few times. And we're able to leverage off his knowledge and experience. And so, you know, going into the year with our budgets, we were able to factor in, you know, some of those anticipated cost increases and look at other efficiencies within the business of how we can be mindful of that, looking at renegotiating contracts. Because of the recent transaction of Fiore Gold, we're now putting ourselves in a position where we can do that, right? Because of the stronger balance sheet, because of the larger entity and the additional cash flow that we produce, we can renegotiate contracts like we did in Nevada. In the first quarter, we renegotiated drilling contracts. We renegotiated fuel contracts that evidently led to about a 6 cent savings versus rack. We rationalized a number of G&A initiatives, including things like IT and office space and headcount. So that all led to a positive result in the first quarter here. And albeit it's only one quarter of the year, but this quarter was anticipated to be one of our higher cost quarters. And that's just how it is for mines, right? Sequentially, you've got some higher grade zones with it throughout the year and different haul routes and different things that could lead to lower or higher costs throughout a period of 12 months. So you can't just look on a quarter by quarter basis. But given how we've foreshadowed the year to go, being that H1 was going to be a higher cost, lower production period, then H2 grade-driven production increases, and so therefore leading to reduced all-in sustaining costs. Yeah, it's a nice place to start the year, having these strong numbers come out of Caliber and complete the transaction with Fiore, have a record quarter in terms of production. We had a significant amount of one-time transaction costs, almost $19 million, and yet still, after all of that, strong cash balance of $77 million, no debt. And we're heavily investing in the assets. So, and we're doing so because we see good opportunities in front of us. You know, when we look at Caliber today and you think of where we were 2 years ago, I mean, it was when we acquired the assets, it was basically one asset going into closure and one asset going to be producing 50,000 to 60,000 ounces a year. And here we are today at Central America, going to be producing 180 to 190,000 ounces this year. And with additional grade-driven production increases in 23 and 24, we will be increasing production. And I think at the same time, because of the volumes, we'll be staying the same. because of that that factor, we should see lower overall all-in sustaining costs going forward. So a nice base that we built there in Nicaragua. And I think as we continue to invest in Nevada, we should start to see benefits of those investments over the next couple of years as well.
Well, Ryan, it's nice to see the multi-prong approach at Nicaragua and the multi-prong approach at Nevada. So now you have two different jurisdictions you're working in, but you're aggressive on the exploration. You're increasing the grade at the projects. You're moving the development projects along. So I guess you mentioned the second half of this year is going to be a little stronger than the first half, and you won't have that cost associated with the acquisition. So where do you anticipate this higher grade coming from in the second half of the year in Nicaragua and in Nevada?
Largely driven in Nicaragua, right? I mean, earlier in the quarter, we put out end of year 2021 reserves for Nicaragua, which got to 1 million ounces. They're up to 1 million ounces now, coming from a 250,000 ounce base, which we acquired in Q4 2019. So up to 1 million ounces now, almost a 250% increase in reserves in 2 years' time. And the highest, actually record grade at 4.6, when you consolidate the open pit and undergrounds, you get a 4.6 average grade. When you look at that, what that means is that areas that we've brought on to become reserves are not in the mine plans as of today, right? They're future ore sources that will lead to higher grades as we get closer and closer to our reserve grade. You know, we look back to the last couple of years, right? When we acquired the assets, the full year 2020, our average grade milled was 2.7 grams gold. 2021, average grade milled was 3.2 grams. And in Q1, our average grade was 3.8. So we're getting closer and closer to that reserve grade. And in 2023 and 2024, we're bringing on Pavón Central, which is 6.5 gram open pit, and Eastern Borosi, which is 6.8 gram open pit. So slowly but surely, getting closer and closer to that 4.6 gram reserve grade. And that really is going to lead in the second half of the year to the grade increases, getting closer and closer to that reserve grade. We've got a number of different mines, right, Chad? We've got three or four underground and an open pit mine at Limón. We've got an underground mine at the property at Libertad. Then we've got Pavón Norte in production right now. So in the second half of the year, we're going to see some higher grades coming out of an open pit at Libertad. We're going to see some higher grades coming from underground and open pit sources at Limón, which is going to lead to that. It's part of that sequencing throughout the 12-month period in the mine plan. And then in 23 and 24, we're going to see the benefits of particularly Pavón Central. Right now, we're mining Pavón Norte, which is about a 3-gram open pit ore body. In 23, if all goes well, we're working through the permits now. We anticipate get permits this year. We anticipate get permits, at the end of this year or early next year for Eastern Borosi. But Pavón Central in particular, we anticipate to be in production Q1 of next year at 6.5 gram reserve grade. So that's more than double the reserve grade of Pavón Norte. So that's really the grade-driven increases predominantly in 2023. So all of these types of mines and higher grade zones that are going to benefit the profile going forward.
So Ryan, throughout this year and then into the next few years, as you bring on some of these other ore bodies, any major costs that we need to be aware of that are associated with starting the development here?
That's a great question, Corey, because we have a unique situation with our assets. We've got two mills in Central America. We've got the Limón mill at 500,000 tons a year. And we've got the Libertad mill located about 250 kilometers apart at 2.2 million tons a year. And currently, we only use about half of the installed capacity at Libertad. And so when you look at these different satellite deposits, Pavón, Eastern Borosi, even Limón to Libertad, we'll call that a satellite deposit. When you look at these satellite deposits, what's required to bring them into production is much less than a standalone operation. When you think about Pavón, for example, right? You don't need a tailings facility. You need a minimal infrastructure on site. You need road access and power getting to the site, but you don't need a mill. You know, what does a mill cost? A 500,000 ton per annum mill costs anywhere from $200 to $400 million.
We have installed processing capacity in country, and we've demonstrated that we can utilize it efficiently by hauling material to those facilities. So when you look at Pavón Central, for example, okay, well, I would anticipate that it'll be something similar to Pavón Norte, which was about 10, maybe $15 million in total capital, probably even less this time around because it's only a couple kilometers away from Pavón Norte. Eastern Borosi, you know, it's going to likely be $10 to $20 million of initial capital, if that, probably less than 20, 10 to 15 again. And what that is site preparation, it's road access off of the main highway, power line to site, it's maintenance sheds and workshops. It's then prepping the open pit to start. And then we'd see some development costs down the road when we bring on the underground. So very low capital intensive organic growth potential in utilizing the installed capacity of these Libertad and Limón facilities in order to unlock value for our shareholders.
Well, Ryan, maybe speak to some of the success you're having with the drill bit around the Libertad milling operation. You've got some of those new targets like Volcan and Tranca. That's also a very short commute to get it into the mill.
Yeah, those are very attractive targets for us. On the Libertad property itself, I think the number is between past production and current resources. It's about 2.7 million ounces of gold. And there's a number of targets on the property that we're following up on. And one of them that we've had some joy on is called Cerro Volcan, where one of the last holes that we hit at the property gave us a new geological interpretation that there might be a downdrop block of mineralization underneath a low sulfidation silica clay cap. So we think there's some really good potential. And that one in itself has been drilled over about a kilometer. Don't know the size of what it is at the moment, but when we look at the drill intercepts collectively, you know, you're probably somewhere between 50 and, I don't know, 200,000 ounces. And I know it's a broad range, but just to give a sense of what we've seen already. And it's still got a 4+ kilometer strike extent that we're seeing on surface and that we know of now. So yeah, drills are on site there. We've got 3 rigs at Cerro Volcan. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to give the market an update on Cerro Volcan. Trank is very similar in a low sulfidation vein system that's outcropped at surface. And there's some good potential to add ounces to the portfolio there as well. There's another concession located about 35 kilometers away. We call this Amalia, and it's equal in size. It's probably about 150 to 200 square kilometers. And prior to us getting there, there had been absolutely no drilling on the property. So we identified a couple of vein systems, and actually one of the first drill holes that went into one of the targets at the time hit 17 grams over 7 meters. So evident to us that there's some really good mineralization up there. And so we've got a field crew up there identifying targets. We've got some drilling underway going on up there. So a lot of activity. And again, as you just brought up, not too far away from the mill, a potential another satellite opportunity. So there's a number of those that run across the whole country. And when we look at what we've been able to do from an operating strategy, you know, we can look further afield now all around our mills, you know, 50, 100, up to 400 kilometers away from the mills, depending on the grade, of course. But yeah, a lot of opportunity in front of us. We've been adding new concessions. We should be drilling some new concessions in the second half of this year. So an extreme amount of activity. And that's what you want as an investor. You want a lot of activity, which is all self-funded through cash flow and looking for those new, exciting, high-grade discoveries.
Okay, so Ryan, a lot coming from Nicaragua and those assets. What about Nevada then? Because Nevada is now also contributing to the production profile. And you also have the development property, Gold Rock, too. So what updates, what growth will we see out of Nevada?
So Nevada, I mean, we've owned the assets for a couple of months now. We recognize there was a good opportunity there, given our ability to generate cash. And you look historically, the group at Fiore Gold did a very good job, you know, and very fiscally responsible job of delivering, you know, 35 to 45,000 ounces a year from the Pan operation, but on a fairly limited drilling budget. Over the last couple of years, I think that the average has been about $1 million to $1.5 million of drilling at Pan, the operating mine. In a about a 50 square kilometer land package, which is what makes up Pan. So, you know, in looking at it, we've got a great team down there. Everyone stayed. They're excited about the opportunity because of the fact that we're reinvesting back into the asset. And having a large land package like that at Pan and a number of targets, whether it be identified through geochemical anomalies or geophysical anomalies, we've got a lot of great drill-ready targets. And so as the year progresses, we'll slowly but surely work our way out. So right now we're drilling in between zones. We're drilling some inferred targets to aim to increase confidence and bring them up to reserve category. We're drilling some areas in between inferred categories. And then slowly but surely as the year goes on, we'll start drilling some further field targets that have not been drilled but have equally as good targets. So lots of drilling activity, a fivefold increase in drilling this year at Pan, about probably due north of 50 kilometers of drilling at Pan alone. So what that does, Corey, is helps us understand the scope and the scale of the project, because there are additional opportunities to potentially optimize Pan further than what it currently is operating at. For example, you know, right now there's about 14,000 tons per day placed on the pad. You know, the permit is up to 17,000 tons a day, and you can get amendments from that. We could look at a number of things like owner-operated fleet or secondary crushing or conveyor stacking. All of these things that can help us be more efficient to produce that metal, potentially increase that metal. But the drilling needs to be done first to really understand that opportunity. And then over at Gold Rock, which is only located 15 kilometers from Pan, there's almost 500,000 ounces, most of which is in the indicated category. The team had done a PEA there back in 2020. So we're advancing that. It's a federally approved project, which is generally the time-consuming permit required, can take up to 5 years plus. So it's a federally permitted project. Now what we're doing is advancing it through numerous technical studies, infill drilling, working on support to submit state level permitting. And we anticipate to start the state level permitting end of Q2, Q3 this year. Drilling is underway right now to infill and step out around the edges of the resource, and then complete some metallurgical work, some geotechnical work, to be able to be in a position to very likely quote reserves by the end of the year. So progressing that project, we can do all of the things, whereas I think historically under Fiore, based on the limited operating cash flow, they could only pick and choose what was a priority for them at the time. So fortunately, because of the larger entity, we can not only take advantage of cost savings and synergies, but also reinvest in all of the opportunities to unlock value and potentially double annual gold production with bringing on Gold Rock.
All right, Ryan, thank you for that update and congratulations on a good Q1. Again, this Q1 really outperformed a lot of other mid-tier miners, and it sounds like still a lot of growth on tap for the company, both in Nicaragua as well as in Nevada. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Ryan regarding anything going on within Caliber Mining, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you. Ryan, thank you again for your time, and we'll have you back on the back of some more news.
Thanks, Chad. Thanks, Corey. Stay well, guys.